Good morning. This is Rochester Speaks. I'm Pat Rivers. Our guest in this segment is no stranger to the Rochester community. She is an advocate for the poor, the downtrodden, the homeless in our community, and she works tirelessly to ease the burden that they face every day. In a recent article, an online article, the Catholic Courier called her a good troublemaker. And I'd like to welcome the founder of House of Mercy, Sister Grace Miller. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
Well, give us a little bit of a rundown on the House of Mercy. How did it come to be?
Well, the House of Mercy really started, I didn't even have it in mind. At nighttime, I would be driving through the city after meetings, and I would find homeless men on the streets, and I couldn't pass them by. I would pick them up, take them to homeless shelters, and I was shocked when the homeless shelters refused to take them in, because I believe that every homeless shelter existed to take in homeless people.
Right, that's what you would think.
Yeah, it really shocked me. So I would go from shelter to shelter and hoping that I would find a place for them. And then there was this one bad winter, deep snow and frigid temperatures. And I was driving down the street at night. I saw a man walking through the snow, trudging through the snow, and I thought, he's going to freeze to death. But it was the winter was so bad that three churches opened up their basements for the homeless. And I saw where he was heading, which was through one of the churches. And I saw two men standing outside the church waiting for the church doors to open. And I thought, it's so cold tonight. Why don't they open up earlier, you know, but which they didn't do. So I took the three men, put them in my car to keep them warm. The church door still didn't open, so I drove around the city and came back. And we went down into the basement. And I said, I have three homeless men. Would you take them in? They said, no, they didn't have room. Well, you know, church basements are large, they're huge.
Oh, yeah.
And they did have many people in there, but there was always room for two or three more.
Yes.
But they would not take them in. And I begged them, and they still refused. So I asked them to call another shelter, and the other shelter also refused, saying that they were filled, which I found hard to believe. But anyways, I begged them, they kept refusing, so they finally said they would take one. So I had two more left over. And I thought, I'm not going to call another church because over the phone it's too easy to refuse. So I went to another church basement and brought them downstairs and said, I have two homeless men. Would you take them in? And they said, no, they were full.
Mm.
And again, I saw there was plenty of room. And even so, two more people would not have hurt them, but they would not take the two in. And I begged and I begged and they still refused. Well, then I said, well, I'm not leaving until you take them in. And they didn't want me hanging around there, as you know, so they took the two men in.
Okay.
Yeah, but then I could go home and rest, knowing that the men I found on the streets were safe and warm and comfortable and wouldn't be out in the cold. That's when it struck me that, you know, there needs to be a place in Rochester that's open 24/7, and anybody can come in any time of the day or night and be taken care of, not be refused. And I thought, but I have no money. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm a Sister of Mercy. I'll go to the Sisters of Mercy and ask them for some money. So I wrote a proposal and submitted it, and it passed. And they said I had to go out and find my own building and do my own fundraising, which I had never ever done in my life. But I didn't want to tell them that.
Right.
So I went out and found, I wanted to find a large place for the homeless, but I couldn't. So I saw a small house in Central Park. I thought, well, this is better than nothing, and maybe it's a good start.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so October 1st, 1985, we moved into this house on Central Park. It was a small house, and all I had was a desk that a minister had given me. And I was going to be like our founder, so the Sisters of Mercy, Catherine McCauley, who would tell the sisters, go out into highways and byways, streets and alleys, and bring the poor in. The poor need help today, not next week.
Right.
I thought, well, I'll do the same thing. But I didn't have to because the people flocked in. They flocked in off the streets. We were in a very poor area. And they came in and, oh, their demands were heavy. People were being evicted. They didn't have money for rent. They had no money for RG&E. They didn't have medical insurance. They weren't seeing doctors. They didn't have phones.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And this was back in 85.
85.
And here we are, fast forward 30 years now,
right, and
we're facing even more with the pandemic. How has the pandemic affected you?
Oh, the pandemic has been terrible. I mean, it's in the beginning when it started, our people were falling ill one after the other after the other. It was hard to see, and they had to go to hotels and stay. And so it was very hard to see our people falling over and having to leave the House of Mercy, because I love the House of Mercy with many people in it and all the noise and you know, the all the confusion there, because, you know, people are happy there.
Of course.
You know, so they were there. And but then when the pandemic, I have a sister, Rita Lewis, who's with me as a nurse, and she made sure that every single person got the shot, got the vaccine. So now over 300 people in our house and in our neighborhood have been vaccinated, have the shot, and they are so happy to have it. Some are reluctant at first because they're afraid, but then once they go, they are so happy and they feel safe that they've had the vaccine.
That's important. That's great. Good work.
And so it keeps our people safe.
Yes,
it does. And so we've been very fortunate that so far everybody is fine.
Now, how does the House of Mercy differ from other homeless shelters in our community?
Well, we're open 24/7.
Okay.
That's one difference. And we offer 3 meals a day. And we feed the people that are in the house that are homeless, and also people in the community who are hungry. So people know they can walk in off the streets and come in and have a meal. And pre-pandemic, I mean, we always have 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we have food on, you know, on the table for anybody to come in anytime, and coffee and water to drink. So they come in from the community, and we have 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we feed the whole community. Not only the people that are in our house. And people know they can come there and eat any time of the night or day. One night there was, it was after 9, and I was in the community room, and an older gentleman came in, and he looked bewildered. And I went up to him, and I asked him, I said, "Are you homeless?" He said, "No." He said, "But I'm hungry." Mm. And just the way he said, "I'm hungry," it tore at me. Mm. So we went into the kitchen. I gave him a hot plate, and I asked him, "Do you want 2 hot plates?" He said, "No, one's enough." So I was putting the second hot plate back, and I heard these sounds, and the man had burst out crying.
Oh, no.
And he was trying to say thank you. In between the tears, he was trying to say thank you. He had his head down and just crying and crying, and so happy to get the meal that night.
It sounds like running a shelter takes a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
And it takes money. How are you supported?
Well, we have many people who contribute money to the House of Mercy. You know, we have our fundraising committee. We have a board. And really, you know, people have been good in funding and giving us funds. That's what keeps us going, you know.
We're speaking with Sister Grace Miller of the House of Mercy. She is our guest here on Rochester Speaks. So let's talk a moment, Sister, about radical compassion, reaching out to help those in need. What is that? What is radical compassion? Can you be radically compassionate? Of course
yes,
you can.
Yes, if you want to, if you want to be. But being radically compassionate means giving your all to the person who's in front of you, especially to the people who are in need, especially the poor, who really are hurting. And, when people are homeless, they come to us. Some are frightened because they're thinking before they come to the House of Mercy, where am I going to sleep tonight? Will I have a place to sleep tonight? Will there be room for me tonight? So, you know, it's reaching out to the ones who really have nothing, you know, and giving them hope and letting them know they are loved and cared for. And that's where our compassion, our extraordinary compassion, comes in. You reach out to the poorest of the poor, the ones that are most in need, the ones who have nothing, and really the ones that society has given up on. And we will never give up on them.
And that's awesome. That's an awesome part of what you do there.
Right, right. We welcome everyone.
Could you give us, Sister, a story, a good news story that has come out of the shelter and your works that you have done? I'm sure you have a lot of them.
There are
a lot of
them.
But is there one that stands out for you?
Well, you know, I always think of this man, he was in his 30s, late 30s, and he was staying at the House of Mercy. He was homeless, and my office door was open. It was in the evening, and he walked into my office, and he sat down. He was crying, and he didn't stop crying, and he was trying to talk between his tears. And he finally composed himself, but even after composing himself, he still had tears. And he was telling me how when he was a child, maybe 10, 11, 12, and he had a brother who was a couple years older, and they lived on a farm. And they were riding on the tractor. And he says he doesn't know why, but he got off the tractor, and his brother was driving the tractor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said then his brother fell off the tractor.
My goodness.
Yeah, and he said, but his brother was killed by the tractor.
Wow.
And his father was standing nearby, and his father pointed to this man, his child, who was standing there. He said, it should have been you.
Mm.
And he just kept repeating over and over again, I can still hear my father, it should have been you.
Oh, dear.
It should have been you. Then he said, it should have been me.
Yeah.
And I said, no, no way. But he never forgot it. He carried that, you know, within him for years and years. And that's why many of our people fall into addictions, because they're trying to eradicate the pain, the deep pain that is within them. And they carry it for years, and the only way they can cope with it is to fall into drugs or alcohol. You know, that's why no judgments can be made on them, because they've had some serious, you know, problems in their lives. And it's many times they don't have anyone to talk to about it. And I was the first person he ever told this to. So I know it relieved him some, because I've spoken to people, or they've spoken to me, where, you know, they would tell me about the trauma in their lives. And, you know, they keep talking and talking. I would just listen, and they would say afterwards, you know, I feel better.
That's 90% of it, just getting it out of your chest is a big thing.
Getting it out of their system.
Not only are you a shelter person who runs the shelter, the CEO, you're also a psychologist.
I have no license for it, but I do practice it.
Exactly. So, sister, if you could just give us a quick overview of the homeless, I don't want to say situation, but I don't know what the proper word is. What the condition is like in our community
now? Well, it's worse. It's worse today.
Okay.
And the numbers are 800 to 1,000, if not more. And there are not enough shelters for them. We had a meeting the other night with many community organizations, and we brought the issue to them and said, look, we need everyone here that runs an organization to work with the homeless and the poor. You all need to step in. We all need to find something, a nice place for our homeless. Maybe a hotel where, you know, they can have their own room, their own space. Or we can build a building, you know, for the homeless, instead of having them go from place to place to place. You know, and sometimes shelters are not the answer. I mean, we're open 24/7 and we feed our people, but not all the shelters are that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're put out of the shelters at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's freezing cold outside,
yeah,
then they can't come back until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Where do they go?
That's exactly right. Where do they go?
Right. So that's why we keep ours open 24/7. So they can stay with us.
I've often wondered that about certain shelters. Why do they say you have to leave the day?
I think it's because the staff is paid, and they want to clean the place up.
Oh,
but,
right.
Yeah, I think that's part
of it. Okay.
Yeah. Whereas we stay open 24/7, but then, you know, we also do counseling, and we have a liturgy every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bible study, and we have the AA that meets twice a week.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we have nurses and doctors coming in to take care of our people, and they're very happy to see the doctors, mm-hmm, and the nurses and psychiatrists coming in. So we try in many ways to meet all the needs of our people, you know, the physical and the mental. And, you know, as far as the mental health goes, I mean, many of our people have mental issues.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the help they need at the mental health institutions. And we're trying to make that known. Because if they can't get into a mental institution, then they're out in the streets, or we have them.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no place for them to go, we'll keep them. So
okay,
we keep the mentally ill with us as well.
How many people can you handle comfortably?
Well, we have 84 beds.
Okay.
And with the pandemic, we've had to cut down our numbers, which was very painful.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, so and right now we have like over 50 or more. But if someone comes in and they're homeless and there's no place for them to go, we will take them in.
Okay.
We will not put anybody out in the cold.
And what is your actual address?
It's 285 Ormond.
285
Ormond. Ormond.
Okay. Now, do you have a website if anyone would like to find out more information, or if they like to donate to help out?
I'm letting him take over.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the website is www.houseofmercyrochester.org.
Okay, I think we need to introduce you again. What's your full name again?
My name is Bolin Graham, and I assist Sister Grace.
Thank you, Bolin.
That's why I bring him along.
That's right. He helps out. Sister, everyone has a why they do what they do. What keeps it going for you for what you do with House of Mercy?
Well, it is that radical compassion it comes from the gut level. You know, you see someone hurting and you can't pass them by. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan where, you know, the Good Samaritan saw this man on the ground and he had to do something to help him. After many people have passed him by. And, you know, I know that, you know, I saw the homeless out in the streets. I know that many people passed them by, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't. It's that deep feeling within, I cannot let this person stay here and suffer. I must help this person. And it's a thing of, what would Jesus do?
You know? Exactly.
You know, Jesus, anybody that came to Jesus, he took care of. He didn't snub anyone. He didn't pass by anyone. He helped them all. And that's what, you know, I believe in, that whoever comes to us, whoever passes by us or is in front of us, is a person in need, and I must do all I can, going out of my way to help that person. I remember one winter, it was a really bad winter, and I had taken a homeless man to, you know, a shelter. And I thought, I went home and I was sitting down. I thought, okay, you know, everybody's taken care of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All of our people at the House of Mercy are taken care of. And all of a sudden I thought, the weather's so bad, I can't sit here. I can't. So I got back in my car. And there was a blizzard. There was a blizzard out.
Oh, my goodness.
And the TV and radios, they were saying, stay home, stay home, stay home. The weather is so mm-hmm. bad. But I couldn't stay home because I knew that there were homeless men on the streets somewhere who would need help.
And winter is coming.
I know.
And it causes a little bit of anxiety for those of us who have homeless problem or situations, and this is where you come in to help, and you've been doing some extraordinary work in our community,
and I hope
it continues.
Well, thank you.
Again, if anyone would like to help out, you seek volunteers.
Oh, sure. We have a volunteer coordinator,
okay.
So that if anyone wants to volunteer, all they have to do is call the House of Mercy, 585-259-9580, and they can ask for the volunteer coordinator, and they can come and volunteer.
Awesome. And you have your website, too, which we could check out. Once again, Bolin?
That's www.houseofmercyrochester.org.
Thank you very much. Is there a phone number?
584, the volunteer coordinator?
Or if anybody has
wants
to call.
Well, 585-259. Okay, 585-546-2580.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's our House of Mercy number. And if you look at it, it's the cross.
Oh, really? I didn't mm-hmm. know that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that ingenious?
Mm-hmm.
Easy
mm-hmm.
to remember.
Yes, yes. I was one day I thought, my gosh, this is the cross, 546.
Oh, you didn't plan it that way.
No. One day it just hit me.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the cross.
Yeah.
And I thought,
Isn't that something?
Yes.
God works in mysterious
you
ways. There's miracles
it.
That happen every day.
You better believe it.
Sister Grace Miller, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
And we'll have you on again soon.
Okay, thank you.
And Bolin Graham, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
He was my taxi driver.